Cheryl, tell us about Space for Autism.
So Space for Autism was set up in 2005 by a group of volunteers and parents and carers of children who had autism at the time. They're now adults. And they're literally three or four parents. So that was back in 2005. And it's because there was no support in this area for parents like myself. So we decided to do something about it.
So this is where you're based then, Macclesfield and Cheshire?
Yeah, so we're based in Macclesfield. And we say we serve Cheshire East. Most of our funding comes for funders around the Cheshire East area. And due to numbers, really, we can't go outside of Cheshire East at the moment.
So there's a lot that require your service here?
We've got over 8,500 members. Wow. And that's just in Cheshire East.
Yeah.
So that just shows the need.
Absolutely. And how long have you been based here?
We moved into Mill Lane 6 years ago. Yeah, we were on Low Street, so we only moved around the corner.
Mm.
We're on Low Street. We've moved four times, so... And we just needed a bigger building because of those numbers I've just mentioned. CWP, so the actual diagnostic team, sit with us in our building. So that's for children and adults.
Mm.
So the actual diagnostic team can fit into this building. Hence why we needed such a big building.
I mean, I think all charities grow, don't they? So those that do well, I mean, we were talking to the Windy Way Trust a couple of months ago, and they've got three buildings now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
everything
they've just moved.
Yes, right.
The shop there, yeah, that's brilliant.
And everything they do, just say, we just grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
So obviously, I mean, this building, this is something that I suppose you can grow into, isn't it? Ultimately.
Yeah, and that was it. When we moved in, you know, we thought, oh, this is, you know, it's going to be plenty big enough.
Mm.
But we soon filled it, you know, with the numbers, really, because we do, we support the whole family and it's not just children.
Mm.
So we support the adults as well on the spectrum and all the family. So that can be parent carers, it can be the siblings, it can be grandparents, it can be aunties and uncles. A lot of professionals also come to us for help and support because obviously there's not that much training out there for professionals themselves. So we're trying to help the whole community really.
And what kind of services do you offer? Is it yeah, well, a big list?
It's big, yeah. Our core services though, so I'll go down the core services. We run social clubs, so they've been running since 2011. We started off just with one club with 12 children, and we now have 8 clubs, and they are for children, young people and adults, so they're a mix of ages. So we might do a 4 to 8 year old club, then the adults are 18 plus, we've got the teenage club that are 13 plus. So yeah, the clubs are one of our core things that we do. Parents drop off, so the parents get that break as well, so they can go and do the shopping. We run an adult hub, it's called an adult hub, that's run by Health. And that's the diagnostic team. That's starting again actually next week. So the diagnostic team from the adult services actually run that once a month. And it means those adults can come and speak to one of those clinicians and have a one-to-one appointment with them about either the diagnosis or things they're struggling with, but also get together with their peers. We also run a social during the day for adults on a Tuesday. We started that a few weeks ago. So we try and say in the daytime, the whole building really is for our adults to come in, so it's a safe place for them. And then the children come either to the after-school club that we run or weekends when the clubs run. We also run another one of our core things is our drop-in. So that runs from Monday to Thursday, and that's 9 o'clock in the morning till 3. No appointment needed, so anyone can just drop in and speak to one of our outreach support workers. That was really important to me as a parent, that if you are having a bit of a crisis in the morning and you just want to speak to somebody, before that happened, there was nowhere to go, really. So you'd just go home and probably cry.
Mm.
Now you can come in here and cry if you want to. So that's a big call. We've just got funding again, which you can't thank them enough, from the big lottery, Community Fund, and that's helped with our outreach. So for the first time, we've been able to actually go to other areas. So we go to Handforth, we go to Poynton, and we go to Knutsford. And that's just once a month, and that's for help and support in those areas. Because parents were saying that our members here, they were struggling to actually get here. So we've actually been able to go out, which is something we've not done before. So I was really pleased we got the funding to allow us to do that.
It's a lot of things that you do. I mean, you must have a fairly good number of members of staff, volunteers.
Yeah, that's grown significantly, obviously, over the years. So at the moment, we've got 34 members of staff. Pro rata on a full-time basis, that only equates to 11, 11 point something, so 11 full-time staff. A lot of the staff team that we have are part-time, so they run the clubs for us, so they'll run the children's clubs. the outreach staff that we have, they've come on board, a few of them are full-time now. So yeah, it's about 11 full-timers, but we've got around 50 to 60 volunteers that help. Some help on a regular basis once a week, so they'll work on reception for us. Some come to our fundraisers, which is brilliant because we always need people to help at fundraisers. But if anyone wants to volunteer here, even if you can only give 2 hours a month, please get in touch with us because we really do need our volunteers. We rely on them so much. They're fantastic.
Now, obviously, all charities, and we always ask this question, have had to go through COVID, and to go through what we're going through now, the cost of living. How has that affected you?
COVID, I'd hate to go back there. Initially, we did close. As a charity, we could have stayed open. Government said they want the charity sector to stay open. But I said no, it was too dangerous, really. We didn't want the children coming in, which was sad. But everything within literally 2 weeks went remote. We turned it around really quickly. We set up a crisis line because I think we set that up within about 2 weeks because parents were already emailing straight away for help and support. And it wasn't the usual help and support you thought it would be. Quite a lot of our members struggle around food. And obviously we've got gluten-free and we've got the allergies. And we've also got something that's called ARFID, which some of your listeners will know about. And obviously when the supermarkets were going to close, everyone ran in and bought everything. So all the gluten-free disappeared very quickly. You know, all the food that they need for allergies just disappeared really quickly because people were just buying it even though they didn't need that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, parents were really struggling with certain foods. We had one little boy, all he ate at the time were, I think they were carrot sticks or it was something like that. They couldn't get them anywhere. So we started to put calls out, even though there was food banks, we put calls out for specific food. So myself and my colleague came in into the building and people were literally dropping off these specific foods for the parent to actually come and pick them up. And that worked really well, you know, because no one else, it was okay, the food banks were amazing what they did, but some of our littlies especially need very specific food.
Yeah.
So the membership were amazing. You know, as soon as they found it, they bought lots and lots of these certain foods and brought it into us. But as COVID went on, the crisis line changed quite significantly, really. And that was quite scary. It wasn't so much autism-related that they were phoning us for. It was all sorts. So we did go out to the local council and said, you know, we're getting calls about... there were our members, but they were struggling with lots of other different things, not just autism. So we said, you need to set up something for people to dial in, which they did, you know, and they set up, well, the volunteer team all got on board then, and it was amazing. We did a karaoke Zoom, which was the funniest thing in the world, because obviously we were all sat at home, so the timings were just slightly off, so we were all singing at a different time.
Yeah.
Neighbours must have wondered what on earth was happening. We did lots of bingo nights. The children did lots of activities over Zoom. We tried to send something out to all the club children probably about once every 2 weeks,
right,
just to say we are still here, because for them to come back after such a long time would have been quite frightening, that they've had no engagement with Space for Autism and then all of a sudden they're going back. So we tried to send something out to them. And some things they returned back to us, so we sent things for the garden. So they could, it was a little plaque, so they could colour that in and then send it back. So when they came back, it was hung in the garden. So, yeah, I mean, the staff team and volunteers were just amazing throughout that time.
Now, obviously, something that is such a large scale that you do here, I mean, that must take quite a bit of funding.
Yeah.
What do you do to raise funds?
It's quite scary, obviously, the times that we're in at the moment. Well, for the past 18 months, 2 years, really, it's been quite scary for all charity sectors. I speak to a lot of, you know, the charities round here, and we are all struggling. To run here, it costs about £600,000 a year, which is huge.
Mm.
Health are amazing. They fund the training programme for us, which is amazing. Council, they part fund three of our clubs out of the eight. So in total, we get about £100,000 off the local authority in health. We've got to raise the other £500,000, and that is just by generosity of the fabulous people, especially around Macclesfield. They are amazing. When we put something out to say we need funds for XYZ, they're brilliant. They get on board, and the businesses get on board. But yeah, £500,000 is a lot to find. We go to lots of trust funders. We've got some fantastic trusts around this area who fund us year on year, and I just can't thank them enough. They are just amazing, absolutely amazing. We have our own fundraisers, you know, which two are coming up very, very soon. And that normally our fundraisers goes towards the social clubs that I mentioned, because that costs over £100,000 itself for those 8 clubs. So any fundraising we do really goes to those. But anything outside that we go and ask for funds for, so it'll be a project, we'll go for that, to that specific project. But it is getting harder and harder, and it's quite frightening. You know, the knockbacks we get now that we weren't getting pre-pandemic. You know. And it's how do you keep the lights on? And yeah, talk about lights on. How much does that cost now? That is terrifying figures. Our electric, our gas and electric bills have gone. And we were really lucky for the last 2 years. We sealed the deal. Absolutely brilliant. And we were probably paying about £800 a month for gas and electric, which was fantastic. In October, that stopped. And now it's over 1,000, but it's about £1,200 a month.
Some more money you
so
have
it's
to
like
find.
£400 or £500 a month more just for gas and electric.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly going around, turning the lights off. There's notes on every door, you know, please can you turn the lights off if you're not in the rooms. You know, the heating we're trying not to have on as much as we normally would. It's very scary for especially, well, everyone to find that money. But, you know, when it's coming out of the resources that you would have run a club for, you know, £500 would run one club, you know, for a couple of months. We've not got that. That's going just for the fuel.
So you mentioned a couple of fundraising events coming up very soon. Tell us about those.
We've got two on the same day, which we don't normally do, but that's fabulous. So we've got our afternoon tea. So that's coming up on the 17th of March. Anyone can come to that. I think we've got about 3 tables left. So the afternoon tea is obviously afternoon tea, sandwiches and cakes. We have a fantastic chef here. And he hates me saying it, but he was chef to the Queen. He works on the Royal Yacht, so the cakes are just absolutely delicious. So if anyone wants to come to that, please get in touch with us. And also Matt Rigby from Rudimentalist, he is doing our first ever in Macclesfield charity 10K. So if anyone wants to join that, please get in contact with us. We'll send you the details. We think £10 of every entrance fee is coming to Space for Autism. I think it's £17.50 to run, but you can then support any charity you want. If you want to run for a charity, you don't have to support us, or you can just run for fun if that's what you want to do. So yeah, I mean, that's the Chili Banana have been amazing. They're supporting it, so yeah, get in contact with us. So they're both on the 17th of March.
And what's the best way to do that?
If you email into info, so it's info@space4autism.org. So info@space4autism.org.